Praise the Lord. Just to review a little bit from last night, we started with talking about prayer being personal, in that our time with the Lord is something where we're speaking personally with our God. Not just God, but our God, our Heavenly Father. And our text yesterday was from Luke chapter 11, and you don't have to go there because I'm not going to be teaching from there, but make a note of it in your minds. And we talked about how the disciples came to Jesus and said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray like the disciples of, like John taught his disciples, John the Baptist, that is. And so prayer isn't something that just comes natural. If you think about the things that you had to learn, they weren't things that had to come natural. Now, sometimes you naturally have a gift. I mean, I've known some young kids that are just naturally good baseball players, and I'm sure Doug's seen a lot of those kind of kids, where they just show up with their glove, and they just got it a week ago, and the next thing you know, it looks like they've been playing for 5 years. You know, it's just like, oh, my gosh, I hate that kid, you know, because they got so much talent, you know. And you had to struggle in trying to learn all those things. But that's not common, right? That just have those gifts. And prayer is one of those things where the disciples, here, there's some seats right here, guys. And that is that it's something that they wanted to learn. They saw Jesus praying. They saw that John prayed, and even that John taught his disciples to pray. So it was something they desired. And so they realized it was something more than just what they saw as prayer before, or what they had been taught maybe before, and so desired that which was more personal, and seeing Jesus' life, wanting what he had in his prayer life, as well as who he was and the Spirit being upon him, I'm sure. So we talked about that and prayer being personal, and then how what Jesus teaches them is all about it being personal, about addressing the Father, as our Heavenly Father, giving Him His place of being holy, His name being holy, and that being holy to our own hearts as well. Also, that of submission. We touched on several things: the relationship, the worship to God, submission to God. Submission is a personal thing. When you submit to somebody, you know that is, and giving them authority over you, it is a very personal thing, isn't it? And then also trusting in God for His daily bread, for our daily bread, provision, something very personal to us, something that's necessary for us, those things that are so needful. And that not just being financial, but even everything that He wants to give us, what we need physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, asking for Him to provide it. Even though He has promised to, there's still that desire to call upon Him, to look to Him to do that. And then repentance, which is a real personal thing, isn't it? Repentance. When we find ourselves in those places where we've been convicted of heart and where we realize that we need to change our direction and we have to acknowledge sin, is a very personal thing. And so Jesus touches on all these. He doesn't get into all the ideas of praying for other things and other people, or even for some work, or for doors to open, or for healing even. He makes it very personal. Now, that doesn't mean that all those other things aren't part of prayer or are involved in our prayers, but He does bring a teaching to these men that prayer is a personal thing, that it's not just like the Pharisees, which He criticized, how they just did it for show, and they just did it for outward, but they really weren't talking to God. There wasn't any relationship there that was being seen. And so we talked about that in great detail, or I basically shared and taught about that in detail. Today, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to be talking today, I'm going to share today about prayer in Jesus. And what we did yesterday, we took time for a short study, wasn't too long, and then we just prayed and went before the Lord in prayer. And today we may do something a little differently when we go to prayer, but right now we're going to touch on this. And again, it's wonderful to see you all here. It really is a blessing. You have totally blessed me by all of you coming, desiring to grow and to join together in prayer. So because of Jesus looking to teach prayer, that's what my heart is to teach prayer and to share from my own experiences with prayer, to share what I've learned and how God has touched me and answered prayer in my life. And so we're going to talk about these things because these things are important in understanding. So prayer and Jesus. First of all, prayer and Jesus has to be in faith. In faith. You look at Matthew 21:21, and we're going to read 21 and 22. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive.'" That's a pretty big promise from him to us. Now, somebody can say, well, it's just to the disciples that he had. No, it's very much for us as well, right? Here's the thing that we look at. This story, the circumstances of this fig tree that he's speaking about are really peculiar. Jesus goes on his way to Jerusalem. He sees a fig tree. And, he's leaving and he's hungry. And he sees this fig tree full of leaves. And when fig trees are full of leaves, there's usually figs there. Well, this one has full of leaves, and so he goes to get a fig tree because he's hungry, and there's no figs. And so he curses the tree, and they leave. And the next day, as them and the disciples are coming by, the tree is completely withered, just dead. And the disciples are going, wow, how did that happen so quick? And they kind of spoke about it and looked at it. And so Jesus then speaks to them about this. Which is quite interesting. There's a lot of different views about the withered fig tree. Some saying it represents Israel. Some saying it's just a Jesus showing his authority of being disappointed by something that looked somewhat on the outside but was false on the inside. But the thing is that it's really interesting because here he turns it into a teaching about prayer. And so I have to figure, if I just take it to its basic importance, or what it's related to, the context here, Jesus is doing this. Yes, it demonstrates his authority, but it does show what he's looking, or shows the authority he looks to give to his followers, and the authority that they have through faith, in prayer as well. Now, what's interesting is that this, he's talking about prayer, and we talked about prayer being personal to God, but in this personal prayer to God, seeking God, it can change the circumstances in front of us and remove things. And if we just take the basic meaning of this, it talks about obstacles. Because if you think about it, what need would there be to remove a whole mountain or even really curse a fig tree by these guys? But it does show something that through prayer, things can be taken out of the way. Obstacles can be removed. Hindrances removed from our lives. Now, these men, of course, are going into ministry. So we have to keep that in context as well. They aren't just, some believer or any believer. They're going to be his disciples that are then sent out as apostles to do ministry. The fact is that all Christians are called to ministry to some degree in the sense of sharing their faith, serving others, right? There's that general ministry that we all have, praying for even others. So there's these circumstances where he's saying you have this possibility of removing obstacles through your prayers. Through your prayers. Now, prayer, of course, is to someone else. As we talked about yesterday, the whole meaning of prayer is to wish, but a wish that is put forth to somebody that you have a relationship with. Again, personal. And so he's saying through prayer, so he's not bypassing God. He's not bypassing him. He's not saying that, well, as a believer now, you can just go out, spout things, go here, go there, go that, and just move anything out of the way, cursing things and removing whatever you want, like some kind of sci-fi, freak that we've seen in movies, that gets out of control with their powers. That's not what he's saying at all. And so, understanding that there's some purpose in what's done. And that's always important to keep in mind. Now, So what does it mean when he's talking about believing? Believing how? Believing in what? Where should your faith, your belief, be focused upon? Belief in you, that you have this ability to move mountains? Belief that generally that God answers prayer? Well, I'm sure that's involved in some ways, that God will answer prayer. Believing particularly that our prayers or my prayer will be answered by God, or he'll answer my prayers? I think so as well. But I think if we understand the gospel and the whole picture, being that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, in who he is, in what he's done, and what has been made available through him, then even when we pray, it's the same way. It's the same faith. It's the same focus of belief. In other words, I can believe that my prayers will be answered based upon my belief that Jesus came, died for me, cleansed me, removed sin from me, opened up the door to me to God, and now because of him, I have this ability to pray to God and see these things changed in my life or in the lives of others. So I can't bypass God. Jesus didn't say, okay, well, now that you're saved, you're just go do your thing and you don't need to really have any thought of me. Because that's not, we don't see that at all through Scripture. There's a dependency upon him, right? He is the bread of life. Not only life in the sense of giving us eternal life, salvation, but in the sense that he is our life. He is what gives us life and the ability to live our Christian life. And that includes prayer. It's through him. And so I see this, that we are raised in newness of life and are new creations. Why? By faith in Jesus Christ. We have access to the Father because of faith in Jesus Christ. We receive spiritual blessings by faith in Jesus Christ because of him. And we have answered prayer by faith in Jesus Christ. See, it all is through him and being in him, that faith in him and what he's done to make this possible. Now, here's the thing that's really good about this is when I found in my life that I was seeking God in prayer, and I go, okay, I got this opportunity to pray, but I found myself almost not having this context in my prayer, in my mind, in my attitude. And I found that I wasn't sure if the prayer was answered. There was something missing in my prayer life. But when I started understanding my position in Christ and my faith in Christ that brings about this opportunity to prayer, it changed everything. It's kind of like this. You know how there's a confidence that you have maybe by somebody that is very supportive of you, being with you, that seems to just give you that much more confidence because they're there with you. Those of you that have played sports and you had fans, you had people there to watch you play the game, right? They're there rooting you on. The whole idea of having fans for a team energizes that team. That's why the home field advantage is so important. Because you have your fans, majority of those people in the stadium are cheering you on, and it gives you confidence, gives you strength in a way by having that person or those people with you. Now think about this: having Jesus with you, going to the Father in prayer with Jesus. How does that picture set in your heart when you have this, the Son of God with you in prayer, and he's standing going, yeah, this is good. This is good prayer. Go ahead. Pray that. That's good. Right? I'm right here with you. Go ahead. Pray. Go ahead and ask the Father because, you know, you got a faith in me. You're here with me. Go ahead and pray. What kind of confidence is there? Because Jesus is there with you in that prayer. He's in agreement with you in that prayer. See, this is what's really important. It's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing how we even go through all sorts of situations because of that awareness of God's presence or Jesus' presence in our life. There was a study done years ago, and I remember hearing a report of it. And what they did was they took two groups of people, and one group, they all did the same thing. They had a bucket of ice that they had to put their foot in. And the test was to see how long they could put it in, but it wasn't about how well humans endure pain. It's how important friendship and support is to people. And so one group had to come in one at a time, by themselves, put their leg in the bucket, and try to keep it in that ice as long as they could and endure the pain as long as they could. The second group were a group of people that could bring anybody they wanted with them, one person with them, to come sit with them while they did this. Guess who endured pain longer? The second group. Right? Those people that had somebody there with them to support them or be there with them, and they, while they did this and endured this pain, went much longer than any of the people that had nobody. It's a fact. We need support. But most importantly, in this case, we need Jesus because He is our high priest, the Bible says. He has gone before us into the temple of God, whereby we can go in and receive grace and mercy at time of need. We can't go in by ourselves. We go in because of Him and our relationship, our personal relationship with Him. And so, as we go in with belief in Him, our prayer must go in the same way. And if we go in with a mentality or not in a faith that, gosh, thank you, Lord, for going with me in this prayer or opening this, that I can come before you, for the Father, because of you in prayer, we are going to be limited. And I found that I was. So that personal relationship is important, understanding that prayer is personal, and then understanding who you are with in that prayer. And it also changes how you pray, too. Very much changes how you pray. Now, here's another verse I want to go to. Go to John chapter 14. And this really ties in as Jesus teaches about praying in His name. John chapter 14, verse 13. So praying in Jesus is praying in faith towards Jesus, but also praying in His name. It says here, in whatever you ask. Now understand, the word ask isn't necessarily the same as the word pray, but they have similar meanings. But ask is to plead or to beg. Where prayer is, the word prayer just means to put forth a wish. Right? Which could be almost anything. But ask is something that's very important that you need. All right, so it's just a little difference in the understanding on that. It doesn't really change the fact that we come in faith, but just something to point out. It says, and whatever you ask in My name, or whatever you plead for in My name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow. So here's the purpose of prayer. This is a real little tidbit here. That when we pray, God answering that prayer is so that His Son is glorified, not you or I. God will answer prayer for the sake of His Son to shine for the world to see. And He is seen through our prayers. Not through our prayer personally, but through the answer of that prayer. Because when we're praying to God to do something, it's because we can't really make it happen. But here's something we see here. It says, whatever you ask in My name. Consider that for a moment. What does it mean to go in the name of someone else? To go in the name of somebody. If, you know, lawyers do this all the time. They're hired by somebody, especially corporate lawyers. They're hired by a company to go in the name of that company. They make deals, set up agreements, arrange the contracts on behalf of the company owner or the corporation. They're not there representing themselves. They're representing what's good for their client. so to speak. But they're sent out in the name of that company. In the same way, Jesus sent out his disciples in twos. They didn't weren't there to represent themselves. They were there to represent him. They didn't go out in their own authority. They went out in his authority. They didn't go out with their message. They went out with his message. See, they went out in his name and so represented him. And here's something important. We then, in prayer, are able to go to the Father in his name. It's basically like we're asking on behalf of Jesus so that God would work and Jesus would get glorified. Kind of interesting idea to think about that for a moment. Because isn't it typical that we look to get prayer for us? Oh, I need this prayer and I need this change and I want this to open up and I desire that and desire this and wish this and it's good. And we want God to get glorified, but it's almost like second thought. And yet here he's saying, when you go before the Father, you need to go in my name. In other words, you're representing me. And the answer of that prayer, because it's there because you're representing me, will be that I get glorified. Jesus gets glorified. So whatever it is that we may be taking before God, when we do it with that understanding that we're representing Christ, and that God is going to give glory to his Son, then he will do it. That middle part of that verse. He will do it. Important. That's so important, friends. Because so often prayers are not answered, not because what's being asked for is wrong, but maybe because the whole heart of understanding how they're approaching God is wrong. Because we may say, well, I'm a Christian now. I'm saved. I'm God's child. I can just walk in and go to him. The Bible says I can. Yes, but there is this place of respect that's necessary. And that respect towards Jesus, realizing that we're representing him still, we're there in his name, not in our own name, and we are asking him for something, to do something that will glorify the Son, speaks volumes of how important it is for us to go before the Father with the right understanding of our position. Right? Right understanding of our position. Now, go to John 16, verse 22. John chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus again ministering to them, and he's speaking to them about his, in a way, not directly yet, but he's going to eventually, really frankly, about his suffering and his death. But he's speaking to them prior to this about him going somewhere where they can't go yet, and he's going to be gone. And so he goes on, he says, therefore, you now have sorrow, because they're hearing this news that he's going away. But I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take away from you. And in that day that he is gone, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Jesus is talking about two things. One is that right now, they have to kind of go through Jesus in that way, in that Jesus is asking on their behalf. But when he is resurrected, when all that he is doing is finished, and now God's Spirit now is sent upon them, and the fulfillment of his sacrifice on the cross is complete and made available, then that opens the door for us to go back to his prayer, teaching a prayer, and say, Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, and go directly to the Father. That doesn't eliminate Jesus. As I said, we still have to go in his name, and even here he talks about it, but we are able to have that relationship with the Father. It's really interesting how the failure of some Christian beliefs think they have to either go through man or somebody before. You know, Catholicism and thinking they have to go to Mary to get to Jesus or to God. The dependency on somebody else or the saints. If I pray to a saint, you know, and they got all sorts of saints, that then he'll go before me because he's a saint and I'm not. But the scripture is really clear that we're all saints that have come to believe. But how Jesus says that we have this access to the Father because of him. And as we go in his name, we have that access to speak to him. But again, we're still representing Jesus. And answered prayers because of that relationship, that personal relationship we have, both with Jesus and with the Father. So going in his name. Prayer in Jesus is praying in his name. Now go to John chapter 15. Kind of backing up. Verse 7. Besides the fact of doing it in faith, praying in his name, we also need to pray in his word, according to his word. It says there, if you abide in me, which that's that personal relationship, that oneness in Christ, and my words, my teaching, my doctrine, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. This is a promise. But there's a presupposition, and that is that the Word of God is abiding in you, and you're in Him. You're in Him, and the Word of God abides in you. Abiding, remaining in Jesus. It speaks of relationship again, but also a position as referred to in John 14, 13. It's prayer in Jesus' name, but it's abiding in Him. It's having fellowship with Him. It's having an ongoing, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, understand about the Word. According to Psalm 119, 105, it's a light onto our feet, a lamp onto our feet, you know, a flashlight onto our feet, right? It puts light on the darkness to where we can see where we are to go and where we are walking, our path, our way of life. That it's and so His Word shines a light on that path that we're to take. It reveals it to us. Well, in the same way, if His Word abides in us as we go to prayer, in the same way that it lights our path for our life, it's going to light our path for prayer. In other words, our prayer will be in agreement and in harmony with His Word. So guess what? Word's important, isn't it? So the more words you understand and know, the more successful you are in your prayer life. In the sense that you will be praying according to that Word, and it will guide you in your prayers as you pray. So that you're praying by faith. Because by the Word of God comes faith. When I understand God's Word, faith is built up, but it also guides me in my prayer. So it's promoting the faith that I have for prayer to be answered. It's really interesting over my life as being a Christian. Now, let's see, I became a Christian in 1980. Yeah, I think so. A lot of years. Gosh, that's a long time, huh? And I think about it, and I think about when I was a young Christian trying to wonder how to pray. And I'd be confused about prayer. But then as I grew more to understand the Lord, understand the Word, grab hold of His nature, His purpose, you know, His will, from His Word that I'm receiving it, from the teaching, my prayer life became, it just became more full of faith. More directed, more focused, you know, more assured, because it was according to His Word. And so you can't miss when you're praying according to His Word. Now, does that mean that God's going to answer everything? Well, He says here Now, understand, his word can be both the written word, but it also can be his word to you. His spoken word to you. That particular word to you in that he promised you something. If God has, of course, it's his written word generally says the possibility of me becoming a pastor is there. His particular word to me is, Bob, I want you to pastor this church in Paris. Gotcha, Lord. Now, as I pray according to that word, guess what? It's going to come to pass. Because it's his work, it's his direction, and so he's guiding me in it, so I can't pray, Lord, do this. Lord, bring this about, because it's according to the word. Lord, bring growth, bring maturity, open opportunities, Lord, heal the people, do this, do that. Fulfill the finances that we have in our church, Lord. I can have confidence because of his word spoken to me to pastor this church. Right? Lord, give me wisdom to lead, to guide, to teach. I can believe and trust he will do that. Why? Because his word to me was that I would pastor this church. So anything related to me being a pastor of this church, he will fulfill. Right? So in his guiding you personally in a certain direction, that job opportunity, that witnessing opportunity, that opportunity to do something new, or go on a mission trip, serve in some ways, help in your community and the PTA at your kid's school, whatever it may be that God spoke to you and says, I want you to take this step here. You can go, wow, okay, Lord, that's your word to me. I'm going to trust you and I'm going to expect you to answer my prayers because that is according to your word to me to do this. And I now I can go to you regarding those people I work with or the people I serve with or the people I'm ministering to help me with that and to give me the wisdom to fulfill that. And God will fulfill it because it's according to his word for you. And so you will succeed and be victorious in it. As well as now take that in the general sense of his word, as his word gives us promises or the word directs us to give forgiveness, to be a servant, to be loving, to be long-suffering, to be patient, to be kind. All those are his word. To be understanding. Dwell with your wife with understanding. How many men have I heard say, I don't understand my wife? Wait a minute. Are you called to marry this woman? Or were you called to marry her? Yes. All right. Do you believe God? It was God's will? Yes. Then guess what? God will give you understanding of that woman you've married. Now, maybe you won't understand the rest of women, but you will understand that lady. All right? Because that's what God has called you to. And it's interesting. See, when I realized this, my prayer was, Lord, you've called me to marry this woman. You've given me this woman as a wife. I believe you will give me understanding of my wife to minister to her, to serve her, to care for her, to guide her. And sometimes it took asking God, how do you do it? Because I don't know. And God gave me the wisdom. In one particular instance, I remember, you know, my praying to God about my wife and some struggles I was having and trying to get something across. And God says, Bob, have you ever asked her how I talk to her and minister to her? I thought, no, I never even thought of that, Lord. He goes, well, that's what you need to do. All right, and my wife will remember that when I said, so, honey, how does God minister to you? And guess what? I was totally wrong how I was doing it. And I got some lessons from that because I got some insight on how God was doing it. Oh, thanks, Lord, for the understanding, right? For the direction. Thanks for answering my prayers. Why? Because I'm called to minister to her. So, cool. See, there's that expectancy because his word says for me to do that, to marry her. Same thing with ministry, same thing with business, right? Same thing with particular ministries. All the ministries I've done, I've seen God work. God has provided, God has supplied, God has met the need every place he has sent me. And I know that he sent me. It's been remarkable. It's absolutely, you know, I just think it's just absolutely cool. And it's really fun, right? To have that knowledge that when God guides, like Pastor Chuck used to say, God provides. It's absolutely true. How simple that statement is and that he used to make all the time, Pastor Chuck Smith. And so his word is a lamp unto my feet. His written word to me in all that I do, giving me promises, giving me direction, giving me understanding from the teaching of Christ to the examples in the Old Testament to the teachings of Paul the Apostle. All these things are beneficial to me as I take those and I present those things in prayer. I know that God's word, when it's according to God's word, God will answer and he will do according to my prayer. And also still always realizing, man, this is only because of Jesus that I'm able to do this. Thank you, Lord. Right? And so that's that lamp unto my feet. And then his particular word spoken to me about me personally, not just his general will, but that personal to me, opening my heart and my faith and igniting my faith to trust him. All right? So we have prayer in Jesus being in faith, prayer in Jesus being in his name, in his word, thirdly, and then fourthly, in righteousness. Go to James chapter 5, verse 16. It's interesting. Yesterday, you know, when I was talking about prayer being personal and looking at the Lord's teaching of prayer, of course, there was a requirement, or not a requirement, I shouldn't say it that way, but he instructed them a principle of repentance. And that is a real personal thing, as I shared. And here again, confession and repentance is very needful in prayer. If there is need for repentance, it should be done. Notice here it says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another. Right? Pray for one another that you may be healed. Healed. Now, he's not necessarily speaking about physical illness related to sin, though that may be the case at times. I don't, you know, but that's going to be very distinctive to maybe a certain person's situation, but it's not the general rule. But he's talking about is that healed, meaning healed in your relationship with God. Because next, in context, says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman avails much. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous, and the main word there I want to point out is righteous. Right with God. Being right with God is essential for us to be able to go before God in prayer. To really be coming before him with clean hands and clean conscience and a heart that's right. So many unanswered prayers. Gosh, I can't imagine how many unanswered prayers there's been because there's been sin on the person that goes before him. Whether it's pride, whether it's envy, whether it's, you know, strife that's going on in their life with somebody else, unforgiveness of someone else, whatever it may be. And not going forth with righteousness, being right. And so he attaches this to confession of our trespasses. Lord, forgive me. I want to be cleansed as I come before you. I want to be in righteousness so that my prayers are answered. And that may mean some obedience before you can even come before the Lord. I tell you what, if you want to stifle prayer or that your confidence in God answering prayer, it's being in sin and not being right with him. Because that will hinder your confidence of being able to go before him. And if you don't have the confidence, then, you know. I remember a friend of mine, we were talking, and he had, there was some situation where he was in strife with another brother. And me and another, you know, there's three of us there, myself and the two friends, and the one friend was, you know, upset and everything else and everything. And the other fellow, he says, you know, brother, you just need to pray for them. You need to pray for them. He goes, well, I will, but it probably won't do any good. And I remember the friend going, you're right, because that isn't... that isn't righteousness, dude. And this is when we were like, we're all about maybe 4 years old in the Lord, you know, we're all young Christians and learning. And he goes, I don't think that's righteousness, dude. And he says, you got to go in righteousness when you go to prayer. And you're like holding a grudge against that guy and bitterness, you know, and what good is that? Of course, you know. Yeah, it won't do any good, not because of them, but because of you. And he was like, oh, yeah. You know, how our heart is so essential. You know, how God wants. And keep in mind, if we're going to go in Jesus' name, can we go in unrighteousness if we're representing him? I don't think so, right? Right? How wonderful it is that God hasn't made it really difficult to be righteous. Righteousness comes by faith. Faith in who? Faith in Jesus. And because of what he did on the cross, took away our sin and made available forgiveness. So because he died for me, I can go to God with my shortcomings, my stumbling, right? And say, Lord, forgive me for this bitterness. Lord, forgive me for this attitude. Lord, forgive me for this laziness I've had. Or this disobedience and not being obedient to you to take these certain steps. Or Lord, forgive me for my inconsistencies or my pride. Because, Lord, I have that and I don't want it and I want it cleansed from me so that I can come before you. Now, keep in mind, there's still that bit of attitude. It's not like we just throw this thing, well, I got to forgive so I can get what I need. Like, you know, my daughter's cleaning the room so that they can go to their friend's house. Hey, Dad, I cleaned my room. Great, honey. Can I go to my friend's house? Oh, so you did your room so you can go? So when there's something that's valuable to you, you'll do what you've been asked to do, right? That's in our fallen nature, to basically pay for something. See, our confessing our sin is not like buying answered prayer, right? Doing something obediently. Oh, I did this for you, God. So can you answer this prayer for me? Because I've done this for you. Paying for that prayer. Answered. Right? I don't think that works with God. I don't think he's going to budge on that. Right? See, that's not faith in Jesus. That's not representing Jesus. That's having trust in your works. What does the word say about works? Not saved, and you're not righteous by works, right? So guess what? Going by saying, Lord, I've done this, this, and this for you, so would you answer this prayer for me, is going upon, based upon your works, which is unrighteous, not the works of Jesus. Asking the Lord, Lord, now here's the thing, understand this, in our scriptures we see where at times, like David says, remember me, Lord. There's those times when the saints of old would say, remember me. Remember what I've done for you, Lord. And in a sense, it's like, Lord, remember my faithfulness to you. And I know you will be faithful to me. But show mercy upon me because I really do, Lord, desire to please you. And that's a different thing, right? That's a different approach. Lord, I sincerely want to please you. And I've done these things. And so remember me. But it's really asking God to show mercy as God chooses to show mercy in those cases, right? It's not a demanding going, hey, you know, come on. You know, I've done all this for you, so time to pay up. I hope you appreciate what I've been doing for you, Lord. I don't know if you ever had somebody give you a gift and say, I hope you appreciate this. You know? And so we have to avoid that. That's the worldliness. That's the world where it's smoozing. It's let's do these things, and that way I can get where I need to with you. God doesn't like that much. Doesn't like that much. And there won't be answered prayer. That's not going before him in righteousness. And so we see these things of going before the Lord in prayer. Again, come on. In faith, going before him in faith, in Jesus, going before him in the name of Jesus, representing Jesus, going before him full of his word, according to his word, seeking him according to his word, and going before him in righteousness. These are the things that bring answered prayer. Right? And I understand this. This is something we should desire to do. But yet there's always still, again, it's according to his will as well. See, that's one of the things. It may be a desire of ours, but God says, no, not yet. Not time yet. Oh, Lord, can you? Not time yet. And even if God speaks to us, like he did to David and even anointed him to be king, it wasn't time yet. But he trusted the Lord and he, I'm sure, sought the Lord. Lord, when? How long will I go through this before I become king? When are things going to change around? Right? Oftentimes there are promises that don't happen right away. His word is still true, though. It may be for a child. Lord, how long will it be until they turn their heart back to you? But his promises are there. And his word is there for us to trust him to bring that child back around, whether it's in our lifetime or after we're gone. Right? His promises are there. So do we trust in that? And are we willing to submit to his will, which is a submission to his kingdom coming? His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's always that submission there of his will in faith. Praise the Lord.